Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. All right, let's dig into 2 Corinthians chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you context clues, okay? Back in 1 Corinthians, we really talked about eloquence, rhetoric, sophists, Greek philosophers who would travel and speak as public speakers and public orators. And really, that's gonna color a lot of what Paul is going to say in defense of his ministry. So that's the context for a lot of the content happening here in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 through 7. Now, before we really dive into that context, hey, make sure you do the reading for the day, okay? Don't use this as a substitute for doing the reading. Make sure that you read today's assigned reading on the Bible reading plan, and then come back and watch this video to help you understand everything that you read. Now, there's a couple of things that the Corinthians would have assumed would be true of any traveling speaker. And what we have to realize is that they don't have a category for a Christian evangelist. Anyone who's making public speeches in public spaces is going to be judged as a professional Greek philosopher, traveling public speaker, rhetor, orator, or sophist. That is the only category that they have in their head. It's kind of like right now, my son, he's 2.5. He knows what lions are. But every time he sees a tiger, he just calls it a lion. And so I was trying to teach my son, hey, no, that's a tiger. And he'll say tiger a couple times, but then he'll see a tiger and he goes, lion. And I'm like, it's not a lion, buddy. It's a tiger. He calls cheetahs lions. He calls almost everything a lion that looks anything like a lion, because he has a limited categories. For him, all big cats are lions. And so for the Corinthians, everyone who travels and speaks is a rhetor, is someone practicing rhetoric, is an orator, is a professional public speaker. And so there are a couple things that are true about people who would travel and speak in the Greco-Roman world as professional rhetors. And the first thing is they didn't have secular jobs. If you were good at public speaking, if you had a command of the Greek language and you were eloquent, then that's all you did. And so let's take a city like Corinth, right? Let's say the governing officials of Corinth wanted to levy taxes to pay for some new arena, right? They would hire like an orator or a public speaker to come into the city, and they would do 3 or 4 nights, and it would be sold out tickets, okay? Like packed house. They would do 3 or 4 nights arguing persuasively why the people of that city should actually give taxes for a new arena to be built. Okay. So public, like, think about it. Like me, you and I, we go home, turn on the TV, turn on Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or YouTube. Okay. None of those things exist in the ancient world, but going down to the amphitheater or a theater and listening to a professional orator, like, give a persuasive speech about something, this is top-tier entertainment. And for them, they just see Paul, and they're like, oh, a lion. And Paul's like, ah, I'm a tiger. And to them, they're like, nah, lion. We just don't have that many categories. So we're putting you in a category of a professional orator. And there is some tension with that, because a professional orator is going to bend their message based on the audience. But Paul says, I'm not an orator. I'm actually a herald. And I don't get to change what I'm saying. A herald, here's a nerdy nugget, is someone in a war who was going to run and herald the news of whether or not a particular side in that battle won or lost. A herald was also someone who would be sent from one military commander to another military commander heralding information. And so a herald doesn't get to use liberty and freedom around what they are going to say. The good news is the good news. The gospel is the gospel. And so they are looking for someone who can kind of like get creative with their message. And Paul's like, no, I'm not creative with my message because I'm not an orator. I'm not a lion. I'm not that. I'm not a Greek orator. I'm not a rhetor. I'm not eloquent. And so these super apostles have essentially come in. These are really flashy, wealthy, itinerant speakers that have come in. And one of the things that they're saying about Paul is if he was really all that great, I mean, if he deserved to be the apostle here, then he would dress better, he would look better, and he would be more physically impressive. In the ancient world, remember, there are no microphones. So most people who are professional orators have a strong physical presence. They're tall. They're able. They've got a strong voice. And one of the things that these super apostles are saying about Paul is that, he writes these bold letters, but when he's with us in person, he's meek and he's humble. And he's got a loud bark through these letters, but no bite when he's in person. He has no authority. He's not impressive when he stands before people. And so all that is context. Context clues and nerdy nuggets for what Paul's about to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's what it says. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the time of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of God's salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. He's saying, hey, these super apostles are discrediting our ministry, but we intentionally don't put stumbling blocks so that our ministry can't be discredited. These people are lying to you. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. So commend. What the Corinthians had probably written back in response to what these apostles are saying is, hey, have Paul provide some letters of recommendation, okay? Some letters of commendation. Get like Cephas or some of the real impressive apostles who walk with Jesus to like send Paul with some letters of recommendation since he wants to be your apostle. And so the Corinthians have clearly asked for that. Do you have any letters of recommendation? Here's what, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Here's how we commend ourselves: in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and sincere love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as imposters, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and open wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Who has turned your hearts against us? Paul says, you want these impressive letters of recommendation? Guess what I'll boast in? I'll never boast in the fine clothes that I wear or the fact that I don't have to get another job. Nope, I'll boast in this. Beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, hunger. I'll boast in all the things that these super apostles are actually saying are the reasons that you shouldn't trust us. That's the thing that I will continue to hold in front of your face and say to you, the actual thing that you want me to be ashamed of, the actual thing that you're ashamed of, is actually the thing that we are proud of. You're going to get that word again in chapter 3. If you go all the way back to chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You see, Paul is responding for their desire or their demand for letters of recommendation. Letters of recommendation would have been a very common thing in the ancient world. If a traveling sophist or traveling rhetor or traveling public speaker was traveling around, he would present letters of recommendation. So in context, what they're asking for is, hey, you look like a lion. We need you to act like a lion. Give us some letters of recommendation. And Paul's like, hey, open your hearts back. Like when we preached the gospel, it wasn't because we showed you letters of recommendation. The gospel message had power. You gave your life to Jesus. And now Paul is in the process of helping these Corinthians go from people who have given their lives to Jesus to actually modeling their life after the person of Jesus. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025 and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into. It's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. Now, here's where I'm going to throw a curveball, okay? Paul says all that. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and open wide our hearts to you, okay? We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Now, the next verse, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Who are these unbelievers that they're yoking themselves together to? The false apostles, these super apostles that have come in to steer their hearts away from Paul. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Paul's saying, why are you even entertaining conversations with these people who have something negative to say about me? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? And what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So a lot of times we love to use this passage and take it out of context and say, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And we really make it about like dating. Don't date people who are unchristian or not Christian. That's actually a great application for this verse, but it's just simply not the original context. The original context for those words is Paul really saying, hey, we've opened up our hearts to you. How about you open up your hearts to us and stop associating with people who keep trying to persuade you in ways to see us in a negative light. And by us, he's talking about Timothy. Titus has been mentioned. He's talking about himself and his coworkers. All right, timeless truth. Here's a timeless truth. I learned this a while ago, that anyone who's in ministry has to have the heart of a child, the head of a scholar, and the hide of a rhinoceros, okay? That they have to be thick-skinned. You got to have the heart of a child, like a heart that's tender, a heart that's soft, a heart that's trusting in order to really be a good pastor. But you also have to have the mind, the head of a scholar. You got to be level-headed. You got to know what you believe so that you can teach people the truth. But then you got to have tough skin. You got to have the hide, like the backside of a rhinoceros. You got to just have armor on, because people are petty and people's hearts can be drawn away from you. And timeless truth is that Paul doesn't try to force them back into a relationship with him. He just says, hey, I'm standing here vulnerable and open. I've opened my hearts. Your hearts are not open to me. And he's affectionately trying to win them instead of trying to strong hand them. He's still talking in a tone that's authoritative, but instead of forcing them to try to submit, he's really trying to win them over with love and affection. And I think that's something that we can all emulate as leaders. We can all emulate that in our life, as parents, as managers at work, as bosses, to not strong arm people or manipulate them through anger, but to really win them over by being vulnerable and honest and transparent. And Paul's running a risk that he's going to open his heart towards them, but they're not going to open their hearts towards him. And that's the risk of being in ministry. That's why so many people leave the ministry, because dealing with people is difficult. People lie. People don't keep promises. People betray you. People neglect you. People aren't loyal. Like, people hurt pastors. I think in church, we only talk about church hurt in one direction, pastors who hurt people. But we don't really talk about the fact that there are lots of sheep that end up doing a lot of damage to a lot of shepherds. And both are true. And both are real, and both are legitimate. And so with that, we close 2 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7. I'll see you right here tomorrow for 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about finances. And Paul has to breach the topic of finances with a group who's not necessarily open to hearing about anything, really. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm proud of you for getting through this Bible reading plan, and I'm proud of you for allowing me into that journey. Love you. I'm proud of you. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at The Bible Department. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.